Hey, this is Cindy at Lauchs Landscape Supply, and it's time for our annual fall sale. That's right, it's our 6th anniversary, and we want to celebrate by saving you big bucks September 19th through the 28th on products like Dimension Pre-Emergent to stop the weeds before they start. Pick up a 50-pound bag for only $39.99. Or low mulch mix to prepare for the new lawn is only $36 a yard. Popular fir walk-on bark marked down to only $33 a yard. Even road base for the potholes will start at only $36 a yard. Need landscape weed fabric? With so many sizes available, you'll be able to buy it with our deepest discounts yet. Just need to maintain the yard? Pick up a bag of our Gold Rush Winterizer Fertilizer for only $29.99 for a 50-pound bag. Come check out our store full of tools, pond products, garden hoses, hardware, and so much more to stock up on while it's all on sale at Lauchs Landscape Supply. Check us out on the web at LauchsLandscape.com. Call us at 530-378-2220. Or just come see us at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. Lauchs Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
This is Jason in the House.
Welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. Thanks so much for giving us part of your day, part of your time. I think you're going to enjoy it. I always enjoy interviewing and talking to these people. And I think as a consequence, I hope you will learn a little bit more and enjoy it. We have Ashley Moody. She is now the Senator Ashley Moody from the great state of Florida. I've talked to her, interacted with her a bunch on Fox News Radio, and you've seen her on television because she was the Attorney General. But then with all the shifts and Marco Rubio becoming Secretary of State, she became the new United States Senator. So we're going to learn a little bit more about how Ashley Moody got into this role, what it's like to be a newly minted United States Senator and from a big, important state like Florida. So Ashley Moody will be here for part of the discussion, which I'm thrilled that she would spend time. And we're going to talk a little bit about the news, and then we're going to highlight the stupid because, you know, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. Oh, and we got a few good ones for you today. But I want to kick things off by talking a little bit about the news. You know, you may have seen in the past week or so, there was a drug boat. And the allegation is that this drug boat was coming out of Venezuela. And as it came out of Venezuela, you can see the black and white footage. You can see it. I don't know if it was a drone or an aircraft, that was manned. But you saw it come into focus, and then all of a sudden you see it obliterated. Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, has said that there were 11 people on board and that it was filled with drugs, supposedly, allegedly, from Trinidad, Aragua, a notorious drug cartel, and it was headed to the United States. People on the left, the Democrats, tried to say, oh, well, you know, it was in Venezuelan waters. The Defense Department now... The War Department have said, no, it was actually in international waters. But it does beg the question, which I think is a legitimate discussion we ought to have in this country, and that is use of force. When does a president have the ability to pull the trigger and use force? Now, when you're going to war, I do believe the president has to go to Congress. But there is a difference. And that is if there is a clear and present danger to the United States of America, absolutely, positively, the president of the United States does not need to go to 535 people seeking their permission. We don't have the time, and you don't have the necessity to do that. You need a commander-in-chief, a president, who can act immediately. Now, Democrats would say, and as I saw some on television, some would argue, look, it put the pilots that were operating the U.S. pilots in danger. Okay, well, that's what U.S. pilots in our military do all the time. They gladly step into those roles. Those in our intelligence service, those in our military service, those that are first responders here locally in the homeland, they do this all the time. But if, as it relates to the War Department, the men and women who serve all the way up from, you know, the whole gambit from maintenance and procurement and the chefs that are on these ships to the pilots that are actually strapping into these cockpits to the aircraft carriers. I mean, you name it. they're all in a forward-leaning position prepared to pull the trigger and defend the United States of America. And in this case, do what Donald Trump said he was going to do, which was protect America. Should you just sit back and take it, or should you be able to proactively do it? Now, my argument here is that you do, under the Constitution, have a legal framework where if there is a clear and present danger, of course the president has the ability, and I would argue the necessity, to protect the United States of America. So these arguments that, oh, well, the pilots were in danger, that one just goes away. And the second part of that is, what is the proper role and responsibility? What they tend to forget on the Democratic side of the aisle is that these drugs could have killed millions and millions of people. We have over 100,000 deaths from fentanyl per year in the past. Now, we can get into all the details about fentanyl. Probably should. Probably have a show just dedicated to just that. But the reality is, if you're going to be running drugs into the United States, there's a new sheriff in town. Donald Trump is not just going to play the same old game. He's locking down the border. If you're here as a criminal, illegal alien, you're going to be targeted by ICE. You're going to be apprehended. You're going to be processed, and you are going to be deported. And we can, again, go through all the different parts of that. But when they're trying to bring the drugs right to the border of the United States, yeah, that's a good safe place in the middle of the water to go ahead and take it out. And you know what message that sends? It sends a loud and clear message to drug cartels and others. Now, you have the Venezuelan president, Maduro, who said, oh, he's going to protect the sovereignty of Venezuela. Really? The sovereignty to produce drugs that are killing us? I was fortunate enough to guest host on Maria Bartiromo's show, and we had Brian Mast, who's the chairman of foreign affairs. And as he pointed out on that show, look, you've got Chinese involvement here. You've got drug cartel involvement. You got a lot of people involved and engaged in these types of things. And they need to know that we're going to play offense and we're not just going to sit back and take it anymore. That's my take on it. But a big important topic, and, you know, something that we debate as Americans. That's what we do. You know, we are self-critical. I don't mind the debate. I think there should be more debate in this country, not less debate in this country. So that's my take on it. But you know what? Now it's time to get in the stupid, because, like I said, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. And, of course, we have three good candidates today. We're going to start with Sheen. They're using, I don't even want to use his name, okay? Think of this murderer. He was there and shot a CEO. That's the allegation, that he shot a CEO on the streets of New York. Now, some people would say he's a very good-looking young man, and he was justified in doing that. Are you kidding me? You don't murder people. You may have a disagreement. You may, but there's a faction of people that thinks there should be death and destruction of these people because they're involved in the pharmaceutical industry or the insurance industry. This case, it was an insurance executive. That's not the way you sort out your differences. If you disagree with somebody politically, if you disagree with them and how they handle their business, you just don't have the right to go out and shoot somebody the way the allegation is this went down. But for a fashion maker to take advantage and use the likeness and then try to profit off that, really pretty disgusting and really pretty stupid. All right, number two. This is obviously a big headline. Anytime you're reading the New York Post, I love the New York Post. Anytime you're reading the New York Post and you see this headline, then you got to stop and read it. Mystery New York City's, and I can't pronounce the S word on the podcast, Stir refuses to pick up dog's poop on UES. Fuming neighbors plaster her pick all over town. Let's just cut right to the chase here. The allegation is there's a dog poop, and that when the dog poops in New York City, you know, look, it's not like Utah or Idaho or Colorado or New Mexico. You take your dog out, poops in the woods. Yeah. If it poops on a trail, pick it up. If it poops in your neighbor's yard, pick it up. You clean it up. That's part of the restitution process. Well, that gets even to be a bigger deal if you're on the streets of, I don't know, Baltimore, Boston, New York City, where there isn't a readily available park. And very little grass or certainly wilderness for the dogs to get out and do their business. And so this dog poops on the sidewalk, but she doesn't pick it up. So the neighbors have enough. And it says, fed up residents are making a stink over the careless repeat offender who most recently left her medium-sized mutt steaming pile in the middle of a crosswalk and just left it there, right in the middle of the crosswalk. This dog does its business. Now, dogs got to do their business, I understand. But, you know, they make those little green bags. Not only do you need to pick it up, you need to throw it away. And for those of you that are out on the trails of, I don't know, the Rocky Mountains and other parts of the country, it is amazing to me, and there are so many people I know that are listening to this, they've had this experience. They go along, and they see the dog poop bagged up and then left on the trail. What goes through your mind to not actually pick it up and throw it away? You created the problem. You got to clean it up. You can't just do that. Okay, folks, that's just kind of stupid. But I can understand the frustration of these people that are having to look at this, deal with this. It's just unbelievable. All right, and last one comes to us from FoxNews.com. American teen pilot detained in Antarctica while raising money for cancer on solo trip. Great idea. Let's raise money for cancer by him flying around at Antarctica. Problem is, you didn't have the permits. Problem is, you can't just fly around there. And so, you know, wanted to try to do good. But this young pilot, you just can't do that. And he landed his Cessna 1820 plane. Doesn't sound too big. Without authorization. The allegation is provided false flight plan data, which launched an investigation. He was authorized to fly over Punta Arenas, Chile, but evidently just kind of kept going and decided, oh yeah, I'll just go ahead and land. Can't do that, my friend. That is pretty stupid.
More Jason in the House next.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're a different kind of wireless company dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Because let's face it, our needs are different. Big wireless unlimited plans are designed for 20-somethings, not us. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on one thing, bringing you affordable, reliable rate plans that suit your needs, not ours. How do we do that? We start by using the same towers as the big guys, the exact same towers. We then create rate plans designed for your usage. The fact is, we can offer you an unlimited plan with the same network quality for less because we understand how you use wireless services. Our plans start at just $20 a month. And forget trying to chat with robots. You'll get 100% U.S.-based award-winning customer service when you need help. Come find out how wireless should be and join the millions who have made the switch.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto paying, e-billing, C-side for additional facts.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1994. Senator Ted Kennedy.
Jackie would have preferred to be just herself, but the world insisted that she be a legend too.
Police in Anaheim say they are following a white Ford Bronco. In that is O.J. Simpson with a gun to his head.
You guys have got to be strong because you are. I just know.
I just feel in my heart that you're okay, but you got to take care of each other.
Susan Smith has been arrested and will be charged with 2 counts of murder in connection with the deaths of her children.
It's not a Republican victory. It's not a Democratic victory. It is the American people making a set of choices.
If you get someone over here now to 325 Gretna Green, he's back. Please.
Okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson. I think you know his record.
News as it happens then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A corn maze proposal in Ohio makes today's Dean's List. A Circle S farmer was the one that came up with a brilliant idea. You couldn't see the message on the ground, but if you were in a helicopter or a small plane, the question was loud and clear. Timothy Sullivan planned this out in June when he and his crew started planting with a tractor, and by the end of the month, it was visible from the sky. Will you marry me, Caroline, was spelled out across 13 acres of corn. Timothy says he was a little nervous that the secret might get out, but thankfully the message wasn't shared anywhere, and finally on the big day, he took Caroline on a plane ride. At first, she didn't see the proposal, so they had to fly over again. Second time was a charm, and she was blown away by the proposal and how much planning went into it. Caroline admitted that it was fitting that the proposal happened in a cornfield, and they plan on getting married next summer. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Fox on Games, your insider's cheat code to gaming.
It's Astrobot's birthday. The character behind last year's Game of the Year is celebrating everything PlayStation. We spoke to Nicolas Doucet, the founder of Team Asobi, who made the cute robot about the birthday.
Playful, just charming, kind of fun stuff. And if you were a PlayStation fan for many years, then you would enjoy it as well.
We also made sure to chat about haptics, something they use to bring this game to life.
So you can feel like metal, water, you know, like sand, or a little like, you know, pity-patty of the
haptic responses are in modern controllers and your mobile devices. It's that little vibration that confirms that you hit a number on the touchscreen. Gaming uses it to bring you into their worlds.
Haptic feedback is based on sound waves. So what you feel inside your hands are sounds that you cannot hear, but the vibration of these sounds and the frequency actually gives a different kind of expression.
Listen to this week's Fox on Games podcast to hear the full interview with Doucet wherever you download podcasts. Eamon Dignam, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
All right, time to bring on our guest. She's the senator from the great state of Florida. I love Florida. I love what they're doing. I love Ron DeSantis and what he's doing as governor there. But, boy, they had a pretty effective attorney general there in Ashley Moody. She got a bit of a promotion from Governor DeSantis, tapped to be the next United States senator, and she's been there for a little while. So let's bring in Senator Ashley Moody. Senator, thanks so much for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast. Do appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a great honor. I always love being with you, and I think this is my first time on your podcast.
Yes, it is. I'm honored that you would join us. You know, there was a time when I was doing a bunch of guest hosting for television, for radio, and it almost got to be comical because every single time I was doing it, you were a guest, and when you were the yeah. Attorney General.
Yes, and we had a lot to talk about when I was the Attorney General, although not much has changed. We still have a lot to talk about now that I am one of the newest U.S. senators.
Yes, that's what I want to talk about. I want to go through a little bit about your background and kind of how you got there, because not everybody becomes a United States senator. Talk about the experiences and what you're feeling. But, you know, I'm always fascinated by people who, you know, ordinary people who do extraordinary things and then end up in positions of power. It's like, I don't think it's an accident that you rose to the top, but you know, it's not like just spontaneous combustion. These things happen for a reason, and people usually work hard and do things. And that's the story I want to learn about, and then get your impression of, you've really only been there months, but, you know, let's talk a little bit about that. But I would love it, Senator, if we could go back to I was born in, and
oh,
I'm not talking
course.
The year, I'm talking about where, and kind of just slowly walk us through how you ended up being a United States senator.
Sure. Well, we certainly won't talk about the year I was born. Thank you for that gift. And it's one of my favorite things to talk about, actually, where I hail from. I grew up in Plant City, Florida.
Now, where is Plant City?
Where? Plant City, Florida is a small town right in the middle of I-4, dead set center of Florida. So, you know, historically speaking, everybody would talk about the I-4 corridor in Florida, which is an interstate, I-4, but it had a lot of political significance in Florida because it was always kind of the, whichever way I-4 went, it was kind of the bellwether in Florida politics. And So I grew up in a very small rural town, Plant City, right off I-4 in the middle of Florida. And it's known for being the winter strawberry capital of the world. And certainly I went to, Plant City High School, grew up and doing student.
You're jumping way far ahead. All right. So growing up, brothers, sisters?
Oh, so you want to go way back?
Yeah, I want to talk about the formative years. Yes.
Yes, yes. I come from a large family. I have three siblings, family that, got together for dinner every night. Even as adults, we try to get together for dinner.
Nice.
As an extended family on Sunday nights. So it was really a strong family. I always tell Plant City that it helped raise me. It was such a small town. Everybody knew everybody. You didn't lock your doors. Of course, Florida is booming now.
Right.
And so it has changed a lot. I always joke, we now have a Chili's, so I feel like we are a big booming metropolis now. But
that is the bellwether. Whether or not the Chili's is shown up next,
well,
you'll know there'll be an
Chili's.
Applebee's. Look out.
Yes.
Yes. Were you an athlete? Were you like read books incessantly? Like what, as a little girl, what was your passion?
Yeah. So I did everything you can imagine, sports, dance, cheerleading, all of the things, gravitated to student, organizations and leadership. I was always kind of looking for ways to help run and organize these different projects and organizations. I know that sounds crazy. Some things never change. I think if you
what
went back and asked...
What was your first job?
I was a lifeguard.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. I was a lifeguard. In fact, my husband and I have that in common. It was both of our first jobs. We were both lifeguards.
Is he from Plant City?
High school. He is not. He is from Miami, Florida.
I've heard of Miami. They have an Applebee's and
they
a Chili's.
They have many.
Yes.
We had very different backgrounds, I think he used to go to, when he was in his formative years, to, concerts and all of these things, and we would go hang out in a cow pasture. That's just what we did. For fun.
All right, we won't ask what's going on in that cow pasture.
Yeah, so, it's just when you, I think we would always have to go to big cities to do anything where we grew up, and he just lived in a larger metropolitan area. But, so I was always gravitating towards organizations and leadership roles, even in high school. And so when I graduated, I had taken on a bunch of different leadership roles, planning organizations, going up to Tallahassee, actually our state's capital, to serve in a government program and model after government officials. So I think probably from an early age, even if I didn't recognize it, I probably got a lot from being a part of people trying to solve problems on behalf of others that they loved and communities that they loved. I think that just probably I was always drawn to that as a kid, and that certainly was demonstrated in the roles I took on.
Okay, so you're going into high school. You're doing a little bit of everything. You said from cheerleading to sports to, government programs, all that kind of stuff. There comes a point where you think, oh, gosh, I'm going to have to spread my wings. I should probably go take the next step, right, go into college. What was that decision like, and where did you go?
Yeah, so I went to the University of Florida, which is a terrific university here in the state of Florida. It is, I think it is the number 5 public university in the nation.
It's got a great reputation, yeah.
The Florida Gators.
Yeah.
We're trying to bring back in full force our football program. Super excited about that. We were the basketball champions last year. You may remember
we
came up to the White House. Very proud of them. I went to the University of Florida, majored in accounting, ended up getting a master's of accounting and law degree, all from the University of Florida. And same held true at Florida, the same way in high school as I, took on student government and student leadership roles, class officers, all of that. I really liked doing that at the University of Florida and ended up doing the same thing. And
Well, you took the easy route, right? Accounting and JD, you know, yes. getting your law degree. That's not exactly the easy glide path. You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Senator Ashley Moody right after this.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Redding Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Redding Rancheria. They are an integral part to the success of the Redding Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Hi friends, RC here with this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Black Diamond by J.C. Newman. This exquisite tasting cigar offers 5-year aged tobaccos not found in any other cigar in the world. Made in the Dominican Republic to the highest standards of the Fuente family farms, mature notes of cedar, spice, and dark chocolate prevail. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
It's that time again for the Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Redding Rodeo Grounds with free admission for all ages. It's the return of beautiful dancers, the feel of powerful drummers, all from across the nation. Learn and experience firsthand the culture of the Native American people. Proudly brought to you by the Redding Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Redding Rodeo Grounds. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potter Family, Redding Rancheria, Wind River Resort and Casino. This station and other proud sponsors.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Get connected to what's happening in Shasta County. Tune in to KCNR, the Shasta Live Show. Your weekly dose of local business, community buzz, and dining discoveries. Join the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce, Redding Buzz, and Eat Shasta every Monday night from 6:05 to 7 p.m. Can't catch it live? No problem. Listen to the archives anytime at KCNR1460.com. KCNR and the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce, your community connection.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, my name is Lori from Backrups. We've been working with the Rancheria since 2008. It's an honor to be partnering with Rancheria. They are one of our favorite groups to work with.
I'm Yasmin Pena with Shasta Heating and Air Conditioning. We've been working with the Redding Rancheria since 2022, and we are proud to be their go-to whenever they need work done.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
This is Jason in the house.
Okay, so you go and you're obviously smart. You obviously get your degrees. What's on the job horizon? Where do you go from there?
Yeah, so I ended up leaving law school, and I had later gotten an LLM in international law, so that was always an interest of mine as well. So I ended up going to an international, but one of Florida's biggest law firms at the time, and did business litigation, and that was Holland & Knight in the state of Florida.
Big law firm.
I really liked that. Really enjoyed working on teams, using my, you know, both accounting and law backgrounds to solve problems. And, you know, I don't know that I thought I would leave there, you know, when I did, but I ultimately, in attempting to get more and more litigation experience, was in a federal courtroom, and for the first time heard somebody like stand up and say, you know, my name is such and such, and I represent the United States of America. And it was a federal prosecutor.
Wow.
And I remember the person, I remember the day, I remember everything about it, because it was the first time I thought, you know, I would love to work on behalf and serve the United States of America. And I went back to my firm and I said, would you help me do this? I would really love to take everything that I've done so far and serve in that role. And I became a federal prosecutor at a very young age.
Wow.
And served in both Jacksonville and Tampa in Florida. And just, I think if you could define my work ethic, probably started at a young age, you know, taught by my parents, reinforced in my schooling and my opportunities in school to do things on in service. But, you know, I took all of that to that role and really was an energetic, really focused, wanting to be a part of a safe state. And I loved that job. It was a great job. I took it incredibly seriously. And I think that love of being in our government and serving government really made me pause and consider following in my family's footsteps. I had had judges in my family, and ultimately then became a judge in Florida when I took that oath and became a judge here in
Tampa.
So
was it an elected position or was that an appointed position? How did it work?
Yes.
In Florida?
Yeah, so it actually, Florida has a great system. It's a hybrid system. So you have appointments and you have elections. So there's pros and cons of both. And I think people could, it would be an entire class in law school to decide what is best. And if certainly every state has a different way of selecting their judges. But in my instance, I was elected and I served for 10 years as a judge.
Oh.
And really, really loved it. Of course, nothing changed. I was always looking for opportunities that I could within the confines of my role as a judge. So one of the things that I understood very clearly was that my job was to take controversy, chaos, conflict, apply the laws that were given to me by the people through their representatives, and reduce that conflict to some sort of order on the other side, a resolution on the other side. And that doesn't matter what division you're in, whether it's family, business, criminal, you're always dealing with a conflict of some sort. And you're trying to bring order to it for the people using the laws that the people give you. And so I always understood that role very clearly. And if you serve as a judge or you come to a courthouse for any period of time, you witness the ills of society up close and personal, from the fentanyl crisis to human trafficking to, you know, the
the degradation of our institution, of our family. I mean, I could go on and on.
So,
and I loved problem solving and wanting to be more involved. So ultimately, I think it was that drive in me to do more on a proactive way, which led me to resign and run to be Florida's attorney general.
Wow. Now, when you ran, how many other people were running?
In the attorney general race?
Yeah.
Let's see. I believe when I began that effort, and of course, convincing my husband, he's career law enforcement. At the time, he was a DEA agent, and I had to convince him that this was a great idea for me to resign from the bench. Most people work their whole lives to do this really incredible, honorable job, and run to be the attorney general. And of course, I always go back to, he didn't even blink. He just said, absolutely, we have to have somebody that understands the need for law and order in this nation and our state. And he was behind me 100%.
But what was that? Let's go back there for a second. So when did you like wake up and say, yeah, that's a really good idea. Destroy my life. Get involved in elected politics.
Yeah, I joke because it was a total whirlwind and change in circumstance, because I joked at the time, I went from literally, when I call lawyers or others, they would pull them out of meetings to talk to me as a judge. And of course, right, you know this right. All too well. As soon as you become a candidate for office, you know, many are like dodging your calls and you're having.
She's going to want money.
they'll do whatever they can. And I always tell people, you just have to remain persistent and focused if it's truly what you want to do. And genuinely, if it is, and the desire to serve is great, there's that natural engine pushing you along. But yeah, it was a huge transition. So, and as a mother of a school-aged child at the time, going from, you know, going to the same bench every day and home to traveling the state of Florida from Pensacola to Key West, as you can imagine, it was a big, big state. And you know, I think when I became, when we won, and it wasn't a given, I believe when I started, we might have had three others in the primary. And ultimately, we had a very contested general. That was back in 2018, when the state of Florida was incredibly close and we had everyone that ran statewide had recounts. It was a very purposeful decision to kind of structure the campaign around primarily my role as a mother in the set of logistics. So there were many times I would drive hours for a meeting, drive home. The next day I'd do the same thing to the same place, drive hours, drive home, right, so that I was home. And that played out, you know, when we were fortunate enough to win.
Where were you living at the time?
The Tampa Bay area, which includes, you know, Plant City, Tampa, that's my home county. It's Hillsborough County. It's right on the Gulf Coast of Florida. So it's a little central Florida. So that was easier than being very north or very south in Florida. But once
why do you think you won? I mean, there's good candidates. I'm sure these other people are probably good, qualified. They woke up and had the same conversation. But you know, looking back, what was the difference in you actually winning?
You know, I feel like I had a great team around me that really believed in that I was doing this because I had this, you know, will in me to solve problems, because I loved that reward system for me of watching me use whatever it is, my professional or personal experiences, to focus on an issue, come up with a solution, and then drive towards that. I was ready to do that on a big scale, dealing with big issues impacting Florida. And we talked about that constantly among my team, and I think they were driven as well. And so I just tried to talk a lot about who I was, what I brought to the table, and why I was so excited to be in a role of an executive position where you could really, using the tools that you had, and if you didn't have them, you went out and asked the people for them to drive towards solutions. And I felt like the state was ready for that, and ready for somebody that would remain true to what government promised it would be. And that's a limited government, ensuring safety and the rights of its people. And we held true to that when we were successful and won as Attorney General. A lot of my time, and I know you remember this because we've talked about it a lot of my time was really holding true to that promise and protecting our community, protecting rights, especially during COVID when many other states were cramming down, shutting churches, shutting down jobs, shutting down schools. You know, we fought aggressively, fiercely for those things. And it was all in kind of that message of and promise that we would deliver what government was meant to be. And Florida's been a success story because of it.
So you're the Attorney General. Ron DeSantis becomes the governor. And then all of a sudden, there's an open Senate seat. So walk us through that, because
I love the term all of a sudden. It was the governor. It wasn't all of a sudden.
From those of us who don't live in Florida, yes.
The 6 years from working with the governor from the moment we were sworn in, it seemed like. Boy, it seemed like we faced a lot, and we dealt with a lot of challenges from incredibly deadly and devastating hurricanes, the time of COVID where we had to, literally litigate to implement what we knew was best for our state and didn't have Washington cramming down on us. I mean, there were, the immigration challenge to Florida especially, we were on the front lines and uncovering information and calling out Biden on so much of what they were doing to destroy that. So it seemed like a lifetime in that amount of time. I think when Marco Rubio, who had been our senator for a long time, decided and took the opportunity that President Trump offered him to serve as Secretary of State, and that was such an honor for our state to have a leader.
He's been fantastic, by the way. He's just been a rock star.
Yeah, I keep coming.
I mean, I knew him in the Senate. I because of my perch in Congress, he and I became pretty good friends, and I've seen him a couple times since he's been Secretary of State. But he is on the world stage, just absolutely making us all proud. But keep going.
Yeah, we were, and it's a testament to his ability to lead and to take on difficult challenges in every single role he keeps getting. We joke in the Senate among my colleagues, we're just waiting for the next role. I don't know how many he's balancing now, about three. So that's great. But once it became clear that was his next step, it was a discussion point. Certainly in my family that may be a possibility. And that was a big decision. I think when I became the Attorney General, I was the first cabinet member in Florida that was, doing a cabinet job as the Attorney General and serving in that capacity and had a school kid, had a mom dealing with a school kid. So, unpacking the backpacks and making sure we're doing everything that needs to be done on the home front. Is one thing when you're in Florida, and it's quite another when you are in Washington, D.C. So it was certainly a big decision for our family and a discussion point. But the governor did not, extend that offer to appoint me or that opportunity to appoint me formally until the night before we made the announcement. So I believe that was a press conference when we made that announcement was shown on a lot of different media outlets. And I think what people didn't know that I had to decide and figure out how, it was offered to me the night before. So that morning was quite an event for me and my family.
So great. Well, it's the only way to kind of keep it in the can, so to speak, until you can actually release it. You're listening to Jason and the House. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
More Jason in the House next.
Attention retirement savers. A top U.S. bank predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to reports, 2025 recession risk just increased significantly. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver for qualified accounts. Call 855-969-GOLD. Find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty free today. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A Michigan police officer's kindness that left a woman deeply moved makes today's Dean's List. Officer Jonathan Cox noticed Dory Oliver having trouble pushing her lawnmower and her walker at the same time. Dory told Jonathan she didn't have anyone to help cut the grass, and because of her mobility issues, it has become very difficult to perform everyday chores inside and outside her home. Officer Cox said he wanted to help, so after his shift, Jonathan returned to Dory's house as promised and not only mowed her lawn, but helped clear debris and cleaned her gutters. Officer Cox then spent 2 days helping Dory out. Dory was so touched by Jonathan's selfless act, she called the police chief to praise Officer Cox and said he did it out of the kindness of his heart. Jonathan says he feels blessed to be able to help those in his community personally and professionally. Janice Dean, Fox News.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson, who return as Ed and Lorraine Warren in the final chapter of The Conjuring series, Last Rites.
If there was one thing that was stronger than the demonic possessions in this franchise, it's the Warren's marriage license.
Now the added element of a daughter, played by Mia, you know, Judy, in our movie and how she's going off to get married. That's what this movie brings to the table in terms of their relationship and their family.
Mia Tomlinson, who plays the Warren's daughter, Judy, and Ben Hardy as her fiancé, Tony.
Tony, he doesn't know about the Warrens. That's what kind of why Ed is wary of Tony entering the family, because he doesn't think he maybe understands.
Obviously, my entry point was more sort of to do with Judy. I got the absolute pleasure of meeting with her. There was one mantra that I then ended up taking with me through my character, which she used with Annabelle and the Artifacts Room, which is, don't look at it, don't give it recognition.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the House.
We're talking to Ashley Moody, of course, the senator from Florida, new senator, but you're exactly the kind of person that we need in the Senate, right? You got deep roots in your state. You're, you know, exceptionally smart. You're well-versed. You've been a judge. You've been a prosecutor. You're a mom. You've got a family. You just kind of check every box. And it just makes me proud that Governor Ron DeSantis has certainly made the right choice. And you're, you know, you never quite know when people get into elective office. You never know what challenges are going to face them. So you got to get somebody who's based and grounded in principle, because they're going to face things that they didn't even necessarily campaign on, that we as a country or a state didn't even know we were going to have to tackle. So I've only got like 2-3 minutes with you, so I have to ask you some rapid questions.
Okay.
You have 2-3 minutes because we started with elementary school.
Yes.
Which is so funny.
Well, I could go on. This should be a three hour conversation. I get it. But that's the part nobody ever hears, right?
It's
everybody
true.
Hears what, oh, I did this in the Senate and I did that in the Senate. Everybody hears that. So I got some real probing questions. Are you ready for these?
I'm ready.
All right.
Fire away.
What was your high school mascot?
The Raiders.
Oh, yeah, because Central Florida is known for that. That's good. That's really good.
The Plant City Raiders.
Plant City Raiders. I love it. And that's a tough name, too. I love it. What was the first concert you went to?
Boys to Men, I think.
Boys to Men. Were they playing Tampa Bay or is it?
I grew up going to the Florida Strawberry Festival. And if you know about the Florida Strawberry Festival, they bring in like top country music acts, all kinds of
acts. No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
My guess is I started going to concerts when I was very young.
Yeah, no, I meant like, you got the answer right at first. And you actually paid to go to a ticket. Yeah, you know.
I'm pretty sure. And I'm not so sure I was even allowed to go. I'm pretty sure I...
This is the commonality that everybody... That's why everybody struggles with this. It's like, oh my gosh, my mom doesn't even know I went to that concert. You know, that's usually how these answers go, so...
Yes. I saw Boys to Men recently and told them I think that they might have been my first concert, and I think I might be able to find the ticket somewhere.
Hey, I got a Boys to Men story. That's going to have to wait because I actually took them snowmobiling at one point when they came to Utah. So I've spent some time with those guys as well, but that's another story at another time. All right, big question. The judges are ready for this one. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
No.
Yeah. You are so right. You are so
not
right.
Not even a question.
The judge.
Not tried it.
The judge, no. The prosecutor, the mom, the senator got that one right. Let the record reflect that she is on a roll, can do no wrong. Senator Ashley Moody, I really congratulations to you still. I mean, you've been there for a few months, but I think you're going to do some amazing things. You got some great committee assignments. You got a passion for it. That's everything you could ask for. And the people of Florida can be very well served with you in there. So thank you so much for joining us on the Jason House podcast. Do appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Can't thank the good senator enough for allowing us and spending time to chat with her and kind of get to know her. It's just what an honor and a privilege. You know, it's good to see good people stepping up who come from, you know, decent, humble backgrounds. And, you know, they never think that they're going to go. And that next thing you know, they're one of 100 United States senators. I think that's what our founders envisioned, that somebody like an Ashley Moody would be able to rise up, have an important voice in all of our future. And, you know, you have to trust somebody to make these critical decisions in our republic. And you can see why Governor DeSantis selected her and why Ashley Moody is going to be a very effective senator. I thank her so much for joining us. I hope you can rate the podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast so it shows up in your box just once a week. We come out. Go look through the 200 plus podcasts we have in our library. You'd be amazed at some of the people we've interviewed along the way and had discussions with. So love it if you do that. Then come back and join us again next week. So rate it, review it, subscribe to it, and join us again. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Refresh your garden at Turtle Bay Garden Nursery's Fall Plant Sale on Saturday, October 4th. Save 20 to 30% on native and drought-tolerant plants, all propagated and ready to thrive in our climate. Turtle Bay members get early access on Saturday, October 4th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. with the sale open to the public from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 1100 Arboretum Drive at the west entrance of the gardens. Turtle Bay's Fall Plant Sale, Saturday, October 4th. Learn more at turtlebaynursery.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Utah Governor Spencer Cox says investigators are not yet ready to discuss a motive in the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, but they say that the 22-year-old who was arrested leaned to the political left. Cox says that information comes from interviews with suspect Tyler Robinson's family and friends. The governor also said Robinson is not being cooperative in custody. The Trump administration's Make America Healthy initiative faces strong opposition, but Senator Eric Schmidt points out the critics shot down all questioning when they were in charge.
It's their apparatus to exert power and to silence people and to cloak themselves in the science, the settled science, which, by the way, as a concept is a total joke. The idea is, of course, the scientific method is to always be questioning assumptions. And that's what we're doing right now because we've been lied to for so long.
The Missouri Republican made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. A proposed fine of more than $3 million has been announced against Boeing.
The FAA's proposed fine of $3.1 million against Boeing is for safety violations that occurred from September 2023 through February 2024. They include one related to a jetliner losing a door plug panel on its fuselage in mid-flight. The FAA says it has identified hundreds of quality system violations at the 737 factories of Boeing and its subcontractor Spirit AeroSystems. Boeing says it's reviewing the proposed penalty. The company put in place a safety and quality plan last year under FAA oversight. I'm Mike Hempen.
Overnight, officials say that Ukrainian drones struck one of Russia's largest oil refineries, sparking a fire. The attack on the Kirishi refinery in Russia's Leningrad region. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids. No matter where you are, call now. 800-583-0141. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-583-0141. That's 800-583-0141. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Students who witnessed Charlie Kirk's assassination at Utah Valley University are reckoning with trauma and grief now as investigators spend the weekend digging deeper into suspect Tyler James Robinson ahead of his initial court appearance. The university community is mourning Kirk and taking steps to resume classes on September 17th. At a makeshift memorial near the university's main entrance, people have been leaving flowers. Tents and banners have come down. The university says there will be increased security when students return. European Union regulators have accepted Microsoft's proposed changes to its Teams app to resolve an antitrust investigation. The European Commission announcing that Microsoft's commitments to unbundle Teams from its Office software suite are enough to address competition concerns. These commitments are legally binding for up to a decade, allowing Microsoft to avoid a hefty fine. The investigation began after a complaint by Slack. News and analysis at townhall.com. A new poll surveys Americans on poverty and homelessness.
A majority of U.S. adults, about 6 in 10, think individual choices are a major driver of why people remain in poverty. About 43% favor the removal of homeless encampments in U.S. cities versus about 25% who are opposed. That's according to a new poll from the University of Chicago Harris School of Public Policy and the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. Fewer than half of Americans polled say unfair systems are a major factor contributing to poverty. 80% say that homelessness has increased, and they are right. According to federal data, homelessness went up by 18% last year. Just over half of those polled think the government spends too little on those in need. I'm Jennifer King.
Today is Sunday, September the 14th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor Walter Koenig of Star Trek fame. He's 89. Hall of Fame basketball coach Larry Brown, 85. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Fair Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Fair's All-Star Panel.
As President Trump weighs the idea of deploying the National Guard to other U.S. cities to mitigate the nation's crime crisis, some Democrats appear to have taken heed, with Maryland Governor Wes Moore announcing Friday that the Maryland State Police would bolster the Baltimore Police Department in an effort to crack down on crime there. Governor Moore's announcement came shortly before footage was released from the August 22nd fatal stabbing of a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee in North Carolina on the Charlotte Light Rail, which President Trump reacted to.
We cannot allow a depraved criminal element of violent repeat offenders to continue spreading destruction and death throughout our country.
In other news, Israel has called for a full evacuation of Gaza City as the IDF prepares to launch a military takeover of the region, a plan which Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has claimed is the fastest way to end the war. That, plus Israel has attacked leaders of Hamas inside Doha, Qatar, getting condemnation from the Gulf states and around the world. To discuss this and more, let's bring in our panel. Editor of townhall.com, Katie Pavlich, CEO of Sean Cooperman Research, Carly Cooperman, and Fox News senior congressional correspondent Chad Pergram. Chad, a lot happening all at once, it seems. The biggest, I guess, internationally is this Israeli attack on Hamas leaders, negotiators inside Doha, Qatar.
Yeah, when you have these types of moments in Washington, D.C., it's almost like you need the red zone for Washington, D.C., where you can see all the different things that's happening at once like they do for the NFL on Sunday afternoon. Absolutely. We just learned here that House Speaker Mike Johnson is being briefed on this. And again, this comes, a couple of years into the war between Hamas and Israel, where people are trying to figure out just how stable the Middle East is. This is pretty early. This is one more, fly in the ointment here. This is another problem for President Trump, as he, talked about that, he could get this settled. He talked about getting conflict between Ukraine and Russia settled. Foreign policy issues tend to have a way of creeping in when you're doing other things, meaning they are wrestling with crime in Washington, D.C., and North Carolina and elsewhere. They are wrestling with the Epstein files in Capitol Hill. They have to fund the government. There's a big debate about vaccines and the testimony last week by RFK Jr. But foreign policy has a tendency to creep in. And we haven't had a lot of reaction from Capitol Hill beyond just the fact that the speaker is going to be briefed about that. But if this intensifies in the coming days, you can bet now that Congress is back in session, that will very quickly move up the list as being one of the primary issues that they're wrestling with.
Yeah, I mean, this comes, Katie, as there were negotiations ongoing. One of the negotiators that was talking to the White House and Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff was apparently the target of this Israeli strike. The Hamas leadership put out statements that those negotiators survived.
Well, these same, quote, negotiators have been rejecting every single peace deal that the Israelis and the United States have agreed to for months and months, and they're still not requiring Hamas terrorists in Gaza to turn over hostages. The president put out on Truth Social that this was his last warning to Hamas, and now we have on Tuesday this strike being carried out by the Israelis on Hamas headquarters, not in the Gaza Strip, but in Qatar. And this war cannot come to an end until Hamas leadership is eliminated, until this terrorist regime surrenders, which is why you're seeing this strike and why you're also seeing the Israelis move into Gaza City to try and push some more pressure on this group to release the hostages. So far, Hamas leadership, which was made up of billionaires who over the years have stolen number of dollars in American aid and European aid to enrich themselves while they use the people of Gaza as human shields, they never thought that they would be a target in Qatar. They live in five-star, six-star hotels and thought that they were untouchable, putting themselves under this guise of being negotiators that continue to reject peace deals. So this move today by the Israelis and the careful statement that the White House put out about the unfortunate strike needing to be in the middle of Qatar, because that's where these Hamas leaders decided to plant themselves with the benefit of the Qatari government playing both sides of this issue for many years. The president during his first term was very clear about Qatar spending a lot of time funding terrorism, which they've been doing for decades. So this is just one more step in both the White House and the Israeli strategy to bring this war to an end by eliminating the threat of Hamas.
Yeah, Carly, turning internally here and the issue of crime and fighting crime, you heard what I said about Governor Wes Moore in Maryland kind of stepping up in Baltimore. And this does come among as this video surfaces of this attack and killing in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the president is talking about that, putting out a statement about it on camera. How does that affect things, and how each one of these Democratic-run cities or states reacts to this moment?
Yeah, look, I think that we see, broadly speaking, voters say that they're opposed to deployment of the National Guard in cities, though this has been like a lot of great red meat for Trump's base. You've got like 85% of Republicans who are supportive of it, and 89% in the poll that just came out said that Republicans believe it's going to reduce crime. You've got majorities of independents and Democrats opposing this. And so what's happened, though, is as a result of Trump's increased focus on crime and bringing it to the national forefront is that it's also raised it as an issue of importance for Republicans. So it's now creeping up in terms of the most important issue. Republicans in polling will say that they use crime and immigration as metrics to judge President Trump on how they think he's doing, as opposed to the economy and inflation. And so I think that what we're seeing is that if Trump wants this to be the conversation, whereas he was elected in large part because of this conversation around the economy and inflation, which his ratings are much lower on. So it's raising this conversation and taking a distraction off of the economy and inflation, where he's still struggling and where the tariffs have done anything but create calm in that area. And from Democrats in cities, you're seeing opposition. You're seeing this as an opportunity to stand up to Trump and to take on Trump. And, I think Democrats who are eager and, anxious, if anything, to see more opportunities to stand up to Trump and take on Trump are largely in alignment with disagreement about Trump's approach to this.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install a Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is House Call for Health. September is Pain Awareness Month. The International Association for the Study of Pain says it's a global campaign helping to spread awareness of issues related to pain and pain management. They've broken the month up into four weekly themes, beginning with pain management, research, and education in low and middle income settings. This week is the 50th anniversary of the journal Pain. Week three is training the next generation of pain professionals. And the final week of the month is the global pain community. The U.S. Pain Foundation also has a campaign, #ThisIsPain, each week publishing articles about the lives of those coping with pain, from adults with chronic pain to children, caregivers, families, and healthcare providers. For more information on Pain Awareness Month or the topic in general, you can visit IASP-pain.org. Or for more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. The cost of owning a pet and the care for their health continues to rise, making it a challenge for many households to afford them. As much as you may want that cute dog, make sure beforehand that you can keep up with the costs. If you haven't drawn up a budget yet, it might be a good time to do so. And focus on preventive care expenses. These treatments include regular examinations, vaccinations, heartworm testing for dogs, dental evaluations, among other costs. Your vet might be the place to buy medications, but you can possibly save dough by getting a prescription and shopping around at pharmacy chains and online sellers. And try to respond proactively when you first spot potential problems with animals so you can ultimately avoid more complicated surgeries and have a financial cushion in place. A good rule of thumb used to be to build up a cash reserve to meet at least 3 to 6 months of expenses. But some advisors now recommend at least 8 to 9 months if possible. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Most experts and pundits thought President Harry Truman would be soundly defeated by Thomas Dewey. On November 2nd, 1948, Truman had the last laugh.
And Mr. Kelton Barnes and Mr. Hartnett were reporting the situation as it then developed. And Mr. Kelton Barnes was saying, well, the president is a million votes ahead in the popular vote. Mr. Truman will be defeated. And to the sorrow of myself and those who were listening with me, and I went back to bed and went to sleep.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
Chad, how does it fall on Capitol Hill? What's most important as, you know, it's always jockeying for the political issue of the moment?
Yeah, obviously the Republicans, especially in the House of Representatives, and Steve Scalise, the majority leader, has talked about moving crime legislation, maybe specifically for Washington, D.C., but for other places, and this is probably only amplified after what happened in North Carolina, sometime in the next couple of weeks. You know, Republicans think that this was a winning issue for them. You know, they believe that they might have Democrats on their back heel when it comes to crime, especially with their resistance to putting the National Guard in Washington, D.C. The Speaker says that he doesn't think that they'll need to even have a vote regarding an extension of the National Guard in Washington, D.C. And there's kind of mixed, you know, messages here in Washington, D.C., where the mayor, Muriel Bowser, has said, you know, she doesn't like the federal takeover but appreciates the help. And, you know, she's getting an earful from her left right now saying, you know, maybe she's not the right person to be mayor. But I'll tell you, the two things that are going to start to gel in the next couple of weeks here, they have to fund the government by October 1st, so that comes sooner rather than later, and what that looks like is anybody's guess right now. I think that they will decide that at the very last minute, and they're waiting to see what President Trump and how he weighs in, even though we have had him weigh in before, both in his first term and last year, where they thought they had an agreement, and it blew up. It was blown up by the president in 2018 going into 2019, which caused quite a lengthy government shutdown, and it was blown up by Elon Musk. House Speaker Mike Johnson was kind of thrown under the bus last Christmas. We don't know what the Republican ask is going to be. We don't know what the Democratic ask is going to be. Remember that Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, basically helped Republicans avert a government shutdown in March and got nothing for it. You know, I talk a lot about Muriel Bowser and her criticism, the criticism directed at her because she's being viewed as being too much in league with the president. The left is certainly unhappy with Chuck Schumer there. You don't so much have Democrats and Republicans fighting, although you will, but you kind of have Democrats fighting Democrats on this. So that's going to be one thing. The other thing that's certainly going to rise to the fore here is how they deal with the Epstein files. And does that complicate funding the government? I'm going to give you a couple of little surprises here. As you always know, it's about the math. Right now, they are at 216 signatures for this, what's called a discharge petition, where they can go over the head of the speaker and compel the House to vote on forcing the DOJ to release the unredacted Epstein files. This is the resolution by Ro Khanna, Democrat of California, Thomas Massie, Republican of Kentucky. Probably by tonight, because it's a Democratic district, James Walkinshaw will probably win to succeed Jerry Connolly, the late congressman from Northern Virginia. Well, that adds another vote on the Democratic side. And then on the 23rd of September, Adelita Grijalva, who is the daughter of Raul Grijalva, who died earlier this year, is probably going to win a special election in a very Democratic seat in West Virginia, in Arizona. So you have this, again, shrinking GOP majority. That, if Grijalva wins and Walkinshaw wins, they could very well sign this discharge petition, and that gets you to 218. And that puts Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, in a very tough position because they probably have to either come up with a compromise or figure out a way to finesse their way around this. Or that alone could really force a problem funding the government, because the reason that Mike Johnson sent everybody home a day early in July is that the House was absolutely paralyzed moving other legislation because of the Epstein files. That could potentially imperil the funding of the government this fall if they don't work that out. As I say, it's always about the math.
Yeah, it is. The numbers. Katie, the White House is adamant that this latest letter, the birthday greeting that originally they said was made up, now has been produced by the Epstein estate through the House Oversight Committee. They say the signature on there is not the president's. He didn't do it. And it's still all a hoax. Pressed about that numerous times in the White House briefing, they're saying the hoax is the Democrats hoping that this issue can be used to attack the president. But clearly it's causing a rift and concern inside MAGA world, not just one side of the aisle.
Yeah, it's certainly a topic that the White House would prefer not to be talking about, and something they've tried to get away from, and a newly found political argument that Democrats are trying to make, despite the idea that the White House has said if there were something that truly implicated President Trump, that the Biden Department of Justice, which has a lot of this information, would have released it during the election to try and prevent President Trump from being elected on this issue. Quite frankly, when it comes to the midterm elections and the politics of this, I think if Democrats want to shut the government down over the Epstein issue, which is one they didn't show much interest in until they could use it as an argument against the president. And if you look at the number of concerns like crime and the economy that Americans have, I think Democrats will actually find themselves on the wrong side of what people actually care about and what they want to hear about when it comes to who they should elect to be in control of the House of Representatives. So politically, I'm not sure it's the right door to be knocking on, and it won't necessarily bear the fruit that they're thinking it will.
And Carly, what's your thought on that? I mean, I think it's easier to see a trap in the crime issue, much like we saw on the border issue and how Democrats dealt with that and talked about it. On the Epstein issue, I can't get there yet as far as the implications politically and how far Democrats and maybe some Republicans go down this road.
I don't think that the Democrats are going to throw all of their eggs into this basket. I think they're happy to let it be a distraction, and let Republicans, you know, as they were divided about this previously and it caused a lot of mayhem, and happy to, like, you know, have anything that just puts chaos into the conversation, into the dialogue. But I think Democrats are well aware that if they're going to have success in 2026, it's going to come down to connecting to voters about the economy and about inflation, about connecting in the right position as it relates to immigration, you know, understanding that this was a concern for voters last cycle and, you know, it's taken them time to get there. And yet also the nuance between how far Trump has taken and you know, the kind of sweet spot in terms of addressing legal immigration versus immigration generally. And so I really think that going ahead into 2026, you're going to see Democrats looking ahead to these big picture issues and having to avoid the pitfalls, because crime is an issue that has been one that's harder for Democrats to message on compared to Republicans, and something that they need to figure out, given Trump's ability to control the national dialogue around these things.
Chad, finally, you know, Speaker Johnson has pulled a lot of legislative rabbits out of his hat along the way here, even with a very slim majority. As you look at this funding, now it seems the White House is pushing for, you know, extending this funding until the end of January. He's got some landmines ahead, but minus the losses that you say might be coming, can he navigate on this playing field, or is it getting really tough?
You know, each time we say that, it gets a little bit tougher, and he kind of moves to the next level. You know, there was a movie called The Game of Death that Bruce Lee made with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I think I've talked about this before, and the idea is that you go up each level at this pagoda, and you're fighting at a different level and a different and more challenging opponent, and Mike Johnson, you know, certainly, you know, rises each level in the pagoda here. Yes, I think there's something to that. But that said, you know, that mathematics, you know, I talked to a couple of Republican senators earlier today, and they were just adamant that there would not be a government shutdown. And I can give you a host of reasons as to why there probably would be. A, when they tend to have government shutdowns, people are all resolved that they're not going to have it, and then they stumble into them because they can't change the parliamentary physics, which is the math I've been talking about. Number two, Democrats really have to just put up a fight. And there was this op-ed by Ezra Klein in the New York Times, who basically advocated for a government shutdown over the weekend and insisted that Democrats really kind of gave things up in March, and now they really have to show that they're fighting right now. You don't know where some Republicans come down, and if Republicans can't provide the votes, I can hear it already. Hakeem Jeffries will say, well, we thought that Republicans were awarded this big, you know, historic majority in this election. You guys are in charge of the House, the Senate, and the White House. You guys figure it out. Number four, we haven't had a government shutdown since 1819. And what that tells me is that we're due. And number five, as I say, you know, we have been down to this road before with the president where they thought everything has been set. And I just gave you two examples earlier where everything was set. And the night before the vote, everything changed and they had to go back and recalibrate. The House and Senate are supposed to be out of session the week after next. They are supposed to come back on that Monday immediately before the government shutdown. That is a very tight turning radius. And that's how sometimes you stumble into a government shutdown.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1987. Jim and Tammy Baker.
We can say we've learned a good lesson. We've learned it. I hate that it took this many years to learn it. I'm getting a little old for starting over again.
I refuse to submit my family and my friends and innocent people and myself to further rumors and gossip. I believe I would have been a successful candidate, and I know I could have been a very good president, but apparently now we'll never know.
I realize there's a lot of folks around that think there's a loose cannon on the Gundeck estate at the NSC. People used to walk up to me and tell me what a great job I was doing.
In Robert Bork's America, there is no room at the inn for blacks and no place in the Constitution for women. And in our America, there should be no seat on the Supreme Court for Robert Bork.
She's crying and humming and sometimes singing. She goes to sleep at periods of time.
News as it happens.
News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox News Audio presents My Son Jeffrey, the Dahmer Family Tapes. He was one of America's most notorious serial killers. Now, never before heard family recordings offer new insight into the mind of Jeffrey Dahmer.
This next conversation is between Jeff and I.
My Son Jeffrey, the Dahmer Family Tapes podcast.
Absolutely nothing is too great not to be forgiven. Right.
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com. Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Angle, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In 1961, television, thought to be pandering to the lowest common denominator for the sake of ad revenue, was coming under increased attack from all sides, most notably FCC Chairman Newton Minow in May of 1961.
When television is good, nothing. Not the theater, not the magazines or newspapers, nothing is better. But when television is bad, nothing is worse. I invite each of you to sit down in front of your own television set when your station goes on the air and stay there for a day without a book, without a magazine, without a newspaper, without a profit and loss sheet or a rating book to distract you. Keep your eyes glued to that set until the station signs off. I can assure you that what you will observe is a vast wasteland.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. Fox on Tech.
President Trump wants to ensure that America stays the dominant lead in artificial intelligence. That's why President Trump signed three executive orders. One, fast-tracks federal permitting, streamlines reviews, and expedites construction of all major AI infrastructure projects. The president says the U.S. is turning a corner.
America must once again be a country where innovators are rewarded with a green light, not strangled with red tape so they can't move, so they can't breathe, and that's not going to happen.
A second order focusing on turning America into an AI export powerhouse, from chips to software to data storage, making sure the world runs on American AI and the American AI stack. And he signed a final order banning the federal government from procuring AI technology that has been infused with partisan bias or ideological agendas. With Fox on Tech, I'm Madison Allworth, Fox Business.
Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
It doesn't seem, Katie, that the government shutdown threat is something that the White House is that worried about. They think it'll fall to Democrats if it goes down that road.
Yeah, the White House was pretty confident they can, just given the amount of unity within the Republican Party, even with the increasing math on the Democratic side, that they can make sure that they get their ducks in a row. And if Democrats want to shut down the government, when they have repeatedly for years claimed that government shutdowns hurt the economy, hurt the working class, threaten Social Security checks, et cetera, that if they want to go down this road, they can try. But last time Chuck Schumer tried this, he walked right up to the brink and realized the politics of it didn't work out. And going into the midterm elections, Democrats don't want to be held responsible for being the party that shuts down the government one way or the other.
Last thing, Carly, I think the president heads to New York and the Yankees game, I think, on the 11th, on September 11th. He has been intimately involved in talking about the New York mayor's race, where Zohran Mamdani is definitely in the lead in that Democratic race, but facing Andrew Cuomo and currently the current mayor. Where do you think that falls politically? Do you think the Democrats fear the Mamdani mayor win as much as Republicans talk about it?
I think that many in the Democratic Party are concerned that it would be a sign that the party is moving farther left, which is not going to be helpful for the party come 2026. I think there's also the belief, though, that this is a very specific and unique situation in a city that is obviously farther left than the general voting population, a multi-candidate race, complicated dynamics with every single candidate that's involved between, you know, a very unpopular mayor who, you know, is still trying to hold on, Governor Cuomo, obviously, who had already lost the primary, and, you know, I think that, and obviously every time that Trump steps in or it comes out that, you know, he's having conversations, it only makes things worse for Democrats. But I think that you still have Kathy Hochul as the governor of the state, who can and probably will be a check and balance on Mamdani if he's elected. And I think that's why you see that there's distance that party leaders in the Democratic Party have kept in terms of their endorsement of Mamdani. And so they're wary about the impact that this is going to have, but I think there's also the ability to let it be a specific instance and not something that takes over the perceptions of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, and Republicans, Katie, can't wait to have more of this.
Yeah, they are happy to turn the support for Mamdani, especially if he wins, into a national issue ahead of the midterm elections. And certainly they're happy to point out that the energy in the Democratic Party is on the very far left, while the results of the most recent national election pushed basically the entire country to the right on basic issues. And when it comes to the crime issue, I mean, you have Mamdani just this week saying he wanted to get rid of the gang unit in New York City. So while people are supportive of cracking down on crime, you have one of the lefts in the Democratic Party's leading new candidates and darlings, which they, you know, have already taken to Washington, D.C. to make the rounds like Capitol Hill. So his stops have not just been in New York, you know, to point out that this is really where the Democratic Party is, and to encourage voters to vote for the opposite.
All right, panel, thanks so much. Now for a bit of history. On September 9th, 1976, Mao Zedong, the founder of the People's Republic of China, died in Beijing at 82. Mao rose to power after leading the Communist Party to victory in the Chinese Civil War, later establishing a one-party state in 1949. Under his rule, China underwent sweeping changes from land reforms and rapid industrialization to controversial campaigns like the Great Leap Forward and the Cultural Revolution, both of which led to intense turmoil and millions of deaths in China. Mao's legacy can still be seen in the current Chinese government, which wields authoritarianism, censorship, and state dominance to keep its domestic population in line. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Katie, Carly, and Chad, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up. The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist and host of the Janice Dean Podcast. Join me every Sunday as I focus on stories of hope and people who are truly rays of sunshine in their community and across the world. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
America's listening to Fox News. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
This is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com.
Or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio.
The Fred Bear Show, Common Ground.
There are a number of senators on the Republican side that continue to want to find common ground.
We emphasize the conflict and controversy sells, and I think that's a problem because most Americans look at Washington and see something that's broken.
Why don't we look for ways that we celebrate what this country is capable of doing?
It's amazing what you can do when you get off social media and you start talking and communicating with one another because there is common ground.
With Fox News chief political anchor, Fred Bear.
When people stop talking, really bad stuff starts. When you stop having a human connection with someone you disagree with, it becomes a lot easier to want to commit violence against that group.
The greatest protection I have is cameras. We record all of it so that we put on the internet so people can see these ideas collide. When people stop talking, that's when you get violence.
We need to have differing opinions. We need to have people that don't share the same worldview and see which one is better and try to find common bonds. You should have your own discussions like this every day. You should try to model it and try to have, you know, back and forth, and that's what makes the country strong and great. Civil dialogue.
Civil dialogue. Charlie Kirk, some look back at some of that engaging on college campuses. In tonight's Common Ground segment, a look at the bipartisan reaction to that murder on this 9/11. Joining us, Kansas Republican Congressman Tracy Mann and New York Democratic Congressman Tom Suozzi. Thank you both for being here. First, you know, we've had a day to digest this. I think the country is still in the process of that. Congressman Suozzi, first to you about the fallout from this.
It's just really sad. It's just, I feel so bad for his family, for everyone that loves him and believes in him. I feel bad for our country. We have so much work to do to try and heal some of this division. Like he just said in that piece you just had, we don't have to agree with each other and everything. But we have to have civil discourse and talk to your segment. This segment is so important because you try to bring Democrats and Republicans to have a conversation in a civil way. And, you know, I'm so happy to be joining Tracy Mann because, you know, we couldn't be more different. I'm from New York. He's from Kansas. He's a Republican. I'm a Democrat. And he's my friend. We're friends with each other. We have dinner with each other. We talk about issues with each other. You know, we're real friends, not like I rise, you know, to say about my good friend from Kansas. Not that kind of friend, but real life friend.
Mm-hmm. Congressman Mann, you both have co-chaired the National Prayer Breakfast, and that's obviously an annual event that brings together leaders on both sides of the aisle and really from around the globe. And you attend this weekly bipartisan breakfast. You know, in the wake of this shooting yesterday, I guess a lot of people are saying, have we turned a corner in the country? How do you get it back on the tracks?
Well, evil still exists, Brett, but we've got to keep prayerfully moving forward. And we're going to do that by the relationships that are formed, I believe, in Jesus through prayer. We have a weekly house prayer breakfast. That's how Tom and I became friends, one of several ways. Every Thursday morning has been happening since the 1950s. We met this morning. All of us had heavy hearts. You know, with Charlie Cook's assassination, also with the, you know, not 24 years after 9/11, but we all Republicans and Democrats prayed together. And I have found that when you pray with someone, it's hard to hate that person. We have got to figure it in this country. How do we disagree but not demonize each other? You know, we are 249 years into this great experience, great experiment. We've got to keep prayerfully moving forward together.
Yeah. You know, it was April 1968, and Senator Robert F. Kennedy was telling his supporters about the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. I just want to play a soundbite from that moment.
You can be filled with bitterness and with hatred and a desire for revenge, or we can make an effort, as Martin Luther King did, to understand and to comprehend and replace that violence, that stain of bloodshed that is spread across our land, with an effort to understand compassion and love.
Again, announcing Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination. Congressman Swazi, you know, this is the anniversary of 9/11. You were the mayor of Glen Clove, New York, during 9/11. And you remember on 9/12, there really was this thought around the country that we were coming together. And that feeling at 9/12, you wonder if we're going to be able to get back to that.
You know, I want to be in that place where we're unified with each other. We have to work at that. And the small groups that Tracy's talking about are so important. Small groups have always been things that help change the world. But remember, on 9/11 and 9/12, there was no social media. And you can imagine what the conspiracy theories that would have been propagated and the divisive talk that would have been propagated on social media at that time. I mean, I saw this doctored video when Speaker Johnson asked us to do a moment of prayer in the House chamber. And we did a moment of prayer. But this doctored video said, let's do a moment of prayer, and then had everybody yelling and screaming, and had a headline saying, Democrats won't even pray for Charlie. I mean, it was just terrible, and millions of people have seen it. We have got a lot of work ahead of us to try and get back to the basic fundamentals of love thy neighbor, of love your enemies, which is one of the most difficult concepts Jesus ever had. So we've got to do a lot of work. And
Congressman Mann, a final word here.
Yeah, I'm not going to stop being a conservative Republican. Tom's not going to stop being a Democrat, but that doesn't mean we have to hate each other. President Trump, Museum of the Bible, on Monday announced the American Praise Initiative, exactly what we should be doing. He called on people in this nation to pray for an hour together every week in small groups, now until we usher in our 250th birthday. That's exactly what we ought to be doing as a nation. We should be praying for each other, our communities, and our country across the political spectrum, and as we all work to try to get to a better place.
Well, Congressman Swazi, thank you for the time, and thank you for coming on Common Ground on this day.
Thank you, Brett, and thanks for doing this. It's really important.
Joining us, HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. Mr. Secretary, thanks for the time.
Thank you for having me.
The President signed an executive order making some news here when it comes to pharmaceutical ads.
Yeah, the President signed an executive order that's an historic change in the way that pharmaceutical advertising is done on television. And the order basically reinstates the opportunity to reinstate the 1997 rules. Prior to 1997, pharmaceutical advertisers were required to put all the side effects on their ads. Many of them didn't advertise because of what it did to the length of the advertising. And that the removal of that requirement in 1997, FDA changed the rule to allow them to report the side effects on a website or on a telephone. And they only had to report a few of them on television. And that triggered a proliferation of these ads. There's only two countries in the world that allow direct-to-consumer advertising by pharmaceutical companies on television.
So how much does this change the dynamic for pharmaceutical companies that have been advertising on all kinds of channels and even online? They're going to have to do a lot more specifically?
They're going to have to report all their side effects. In some cases, I might create an advertisement that's 4 minutes long. Prior to 1997, advertising in magazines had page after page after side effects reported. And so we don't know exactly what it will do, but we know it's going to be better for the health of Americans.
It's significant. Meantime, you have this Make Our Children Healthy Again strategy for ending childhood chronic disease, advanced research, realigned incentives, foster private sector collaboration, increased public awareness. There are some who say that this stops short of some of the regulations and things that they thought were coming. This isn't the end game here. You're saying you're going to study to then make changes?
Well, no. There's 128 concrete recommendations. And for many of them, we're already doing them. We're getting rid of dyes and of all the petroleum-based, all 9 petroleum-based dyes. We're changing the GRAS loophole so that people can't just, put anything they want in our food anymore without showing that it's safe. We're changing nutrition standards in baby formula. We are requiring medical schools to do nutrition education. There's 128 recommendations. A lot of them we're going to accomplish before the end of this year. Some of the issues, some of the contaminants, for example, in our food, we don't understand because the studies were never done. Because of the GRAS loophole, you could put things in the food without studying them first, without proving their safety. We're going to change that. To get rid of some of those things, it's going to require some studies.
And to the criticism that it's taking too long?
There's no HHS secretary in history who's accomplished this much.
In this amount of time. You just got done with a pretty contentious hearing up on Capitol Hill. You were hammered by senators, a lot of Democrats, but some Republicans, specifically on vaccine policy. After that hearing, there are now calls for more hearings about that and concerns about it. You fired the CDC director. After that hearing, what is the fallout for you? How do you look at it and your relationship with Capitol Hill?
We are doing our business. And our business, CDC is a broken agency. It's presided over the biggest decline in health of any country in the world. And we're going to change that. We have to make change there. We literally had the worst outcomes during COVID. We had the highest death count in the world. We have 4.2% of the world's population. We had 20% of the COVID deaths. That is not a winning record. I was brought in like a general manager of the losingest team in baseball. You would want them to make some changes when they come in, and we're making changes, and change always has its opponents. But we're making changes for the for the betterment of the American people so that we can go from the worst,
Let me just say the CDC
announced last week that the chronic disease rate in this country is 76.4%. It was 11% when my uncle was president. It was 3% in 1950. We are the sickest country in the world, and we got to do something different. And it's going to require change, and some of the people who presided over this mess have to leave.
But understand that you hired Susan Munarez, and she wrote that public health shouldn't be partisan. Vaccines have saved millions of lives under administrations of both parties. Parents deserve a CDC they can trust and put children above politics, evidence above ideology, and facts above fear. I was fired for holding that line. She said, if we stay silent, preventable diseases will return. If we act, the facts can still prevail. That was her words. How do you respond to that?
Our job is to depoliticize CDC. The problem with CDC is it was supporting dogma. All through COVID, Americans saw it for the first time. I've been watching it for 20 years.
Even your hired CDC director.
Rather than science. And what we need is we need a CDC director who's going to follow the science. And that's what we're going to do. We're getting rid of all the conflicts and the committees that advise on vaccines. Our kids know that they're getting the safest vaccine possible. Right now, there's only 10% of American children who are complying with CDC's recommendations. So the American public does not trust CDC. We need to restore that trust, and we're going to do that by depoliticizing the agency and returning it to gold standard science.
Mr. Secretary, we appreciate the time coming out of the Oval Office, telling us about this news. We look forward to having you back on.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash. What it take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
It's that time again for the Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Reading Rodeo Grounds with free admission for all ages. It's the return of beautiful dancers, the feel of powerful drummers, all from across the nation. Learn and experience firsthand the culture of the Native American people. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potter Family, Reading Rancheria, Wind River Resort and Casino. This station and other proud sponsors.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.